Hey everyone, welcome to the Dudes with Views podcast, episode 6. Friday, July 7, 2017. How's it going, Mike?
Good. Corey on a Friday. Very different.
Yeah, very different. It's good, though. It's the end of the week. Nothing staring us in the face the rest of the work week. It's a positive feeling.
Yeah, a short week for most people out there, us included. I even took Monday off earlier this week, so had a little bit longer of a weekend.
Yeah, same here. Just the Wednesday through Friday work week, so can't complain too much.
It still felt long.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So what'd you do on the 4th? Hopefully stayed safe and enjoyed some fireworks.
Did a lot of pet comforting on the actual day of the 4th.
Yeah, so did we a little bit.
All the fireworks going off and things like that. Only thing I really did, I played a little bit of golf on Monday.
Oh, cool.
I went down to Nashville, Indiana, and there was a course down there I'd passed 100 times, but wanted to play called Salt Creek Golf Course. It was pretty nice. Sand traps were a little not in good shape, but the course itself was pretty good. Didn't shoot the best, but it's only the second time I've played this year, and I think second time I played in the last 2 years, actually. So the game is a little rusty, to say the least. So
Yeah.
How about you? What'd you do?
Well, we spent, as I mentioned in the last podcast, we went up to Chicago, spent our day up there on Friday. I think it was the day after we recorded the last podcast. Just spent the day there. I went to go see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That concert was awesome. Anybody who's a Chili Peppers fan, I don't know if you are or not, yeah. But they can still bring it, man. Like, they were really, really good.
Flea is out there rocking.
I mean, he's got some jump, man.
Does he?
Like, yeah, he might be able to dunk. I'm not sure, but he they were really impressive. I got some video of a few of the parts of it, and kept the phone in the pocket for the rest of the time, but it was a really good
was
concert.
Was it just the Peppers, or did someone open up for them?
They had somebody open. I think their name was called something like Deerhoof or something like that.
Deerhoof.
And they were terrible. They had a Japanese female.
Which
is why they're bad, is that what you're saying? Yeah, I was like, oh, God, here we go. But that's racist. No, but they had a Japanese female singer, which actually I was kind of excited about because she was leading a rock band, which you don't see that every day.
Right.
So I was like, all right, well, let's give this a shot. And, I mean, it was just terrible. The original Chili Peppers drummer came out, Jack Irons, and did like about a 20-minute set or something like that in the beginning, just drums. No vocals or anything like that, really, but I think actually somebody might have came out and done some vocals for one song, but that was it. The rest of it was just drum solo, and he was pretty insane too.
20 minutes of playing drums straight. Huh?
Yeah, he just went at it, man. Okay. I mean, just a couple of breaks, and that was about it.
That's pretty cool.
So, dealt with that. We didn't get. I told you in the last podcast we were pretty much planning on not staying there, and we were going to drive back, and that ended up being the case. We got out of the concert around, I'd be guessing, probably around 12:30, something like that.
Central Standard or East?
Central, yeah. I don't know, it might have been earlier than that, but I feel like it was later. And we didn't get back until 5 in the morning. 5 in the morning.
That's just brutal.
Thank you to the god-awful Chicago traffic, which I always, because we don't really go all that often.
Right.
I've been probably to Chicago about 10, 15 times in my life.
Where was the venue at that they were playing?
The United Center.
United Center.
Yeah.
I mean, so is that more downtown? I've been to Chicago a couple times, only to like the more of the south side.
It's a little bit off of downtown. It's like you can see downtown pretty. It's pretty close,
mm-hmm.
But it's like you can see the skyline, and
right.
Then you're sort of off a little bit. I mean, it's a 5 or 10 minute drive to downtown,
right?
And it's a straight shot too, but. Yeah, it's where the Bulls and the Blackhawks play. The entire stadium was full. It was insane. But getting out of there was another beast altogether. I bet you there were periods of time we went half a mile in 30 minutes, something like that. And that might be exaggerating. I'm not kidding.
It was just a half hour. You just didn't even move.
Yep,
literally.
Yep.
That
and
sucks.
I mean, the whole time I'm tired and
that.
I'm just ready.
So one of the reasons I moved out of Southern California because the traffic is so bad there, and it's just, you don't even need an event. It's a Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and you're stuck in traffic, and you could be Tuesday at 2:30 in the morning stuck in traffic in LA. So
yeah,
I understand your pain.
Yeah, Chicago seems to be somewhat similar. At least it was that night, because even when we got away from the stadium, it was insanity. Like, there were a couple of accidents, backed up like it was rush hour, and it's like 2 a.m. at that point.
Right. All you want to do is get home. You're tired from the concert, God, man.
I was probably unbearable. I feel I was, you know, bitching a storm and just ready to be home. So, yeah, it was. But the concert was worth it. I'd do it again.
Right.
I'm just not a fan of the city itself because of the traffic mostly. But yeah, we would go again. They actually came to Indy this year, but we just couldn't go because it was during the week.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. So
I don't remember them coming.
Yeah, they were here maybe a couple of months ago, I think. Hmm. But yeah, there was. And then when on the 4th of July, when that rolled around, we got to watch the fireworks here in our neighborhood. And let me tell you, there's like no reason to go downtown to watch the city's fireworks. Like, people spend so much money on fireworks here. It's insane.
That's just crazy.
It was bonkers, dude. I've never seen anything like it in a neighborhood. So, and we were lighting our own off. We had about, I don't know.
Buy one of those packages at the store.
Yeah, where you can, you know, you have the like PVC tube and you can just launch them. And we had about 15 of them to launch. And there was some other stuff that we had too. And, you know, it was fun, but we mostly just sat back and watched the fireworks and had a good time doing that. So, right. Did you get to check out any?
No, not really. We heard them going on in the neighborhood, but we didn't really catch them. I, you know, one of the 4th of July's when I was living in New York, I got a chance to go out on a boat into the Hudson for the 4th of July celebration there, and they just shoot them. Like, that's one of the best fireworks displays like ever I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I don't know how Indy would compare, but part of it is just the dog. It was just hard to leave her when she's freaking out,
yeah,
you know, because of the loud noises. But New York was great because you go out on the Hudson, you pay for the ticket, then it's, I think it's all you can drink on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of goes back and forth because they shoot them off in a couple different areas so everybody can see it. But it was really neat. And then you come back right after midnight. You're a little bit liquored. Everybody usually, pardon me, goes to the bars afterwards. But but it was a good time. Like, so I don't know, as far as fireworks here, like, there wasn't any. I would imagine your neighborhood was probably a lot more in depth in terms of the type of fireworks they're shooting off.
Like, oh, yeah.
I think a lot of ours weren't. You know, they're kind of like the M80s and kind of stuff that was.
No, it was stuff. It was like the flower fireworks in the air, like those. It was insane.
Yeah, that wasn't like that in my neighborhood at all.
And so, it was constant. There was no, from about 9 o'clock or 8:30 or something, all the way to like 11:30. There was no silence.
That's
so
crazy. Yeah, there was a couple pockets. It started right about 9, then went to like right around 10:15. It sounded like it was going to die down pretty early. And then right around 11, there was some more firework noise going off, and then it stopped probably like 10 to 12,
yeah,
10 to midnight. So.
Yeah, Mia, one of my dogs, has the same kind of issue as yours. And so we had two box fans downstairs blowing on high, and the TV was turned up louder than normal, and just to drown out the noises.
Right.
And she could still hear it, obviously, but I think it helped.
It did.
Like, we did that in the Benadryl. She wasn't near as strung out as that one night I was telling you about, so we pretty much think she had a panic attack. So remember your furry friends out there when you're lighting your fireworks off.
Exactly.
It's obviously not as fun for them.
It isn't, yeah. I mean, there's some things you can do. I've heard of something called the thunder shirt, which is supposed to work pretty well. It kind of hugs them, and like it's like about pressure points on dogs.
Can I tell you a funny story about that?
Sure, go ahead.
Because you texted me about that.
All right.
So we have this a security like Halloween costume. It says like it's a black thing, and it has like the police like padded bulletproof vest kind of look to it.
Right.
And then it says security on the back of it. And we ordered it a little small on accident, but we kept it. And so we put it on Mia because even on her, it's a little small,
right,
even on her tiny frame. And we were like, oh, well, maybe this will serve that purpose of what you were talking about, forgetting the fact that anytime we've ever put a sweater on her or any sort of, like, doggy clothing,
right,
she freezes up. And, like, well, like she's like those goats right. that, like, when you scare them, they, like, lay over on their back and stick goats, their feet right? up. Yeah. Like, she was exactly like that, but just standing there. And you have to, like, literally remind her that she can walk. It's the strangest thing in the world, man. And
that's funny.
That dog's got some hang-ups. I don't know what it is, but she's a sweetheart. I love her, though. Yeah, she's a sweetheart, but she just has that kind of hang-up on, I don't know what it is. It must have been from something before we had her, but right. I have no idea. Or maybe she's just weird. So follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Dudes with Views, at Dudes with Views. We're posting all of our stuff there, as we've mentioned before. But just for anybody who hasn't heard our podcast before, we'll be posting everything there, including when next episodes are going to be coming out and things of that nature. We are now officially on iTunes.
Awesome.
Dun, dun, dun. Like, I should have had a thing to play for that, the right?
Gong.
But I didn't think about it. Yeah. Just to make it seem way more important than it is. But
it is pretty neat, though.
It is neat. It makes us feel rather official, so it's pretty cool. So we're on iTunes, still on SoundCloud, so you can follow us on either spot, and we'll you can search for us there. You can click on the links in our Twitter and Facebook profiles to get to those. So we got a lot to cover today. We're going to be doing talking about the NBA landscape through free agency and trading. There's been a ton of moving, and we're going to talk about the landscape and how that may have changed. We're going to rank the top five QBs in the NFL.
Yep, I got my list already.
I think prepared. What our goal with this is every episode we're going to do a different position, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd Why be not, right?
Right, before okay. the season starts.
Yeah, so we're, as you can tell, we're jazzed about the NFL coming. And then later on, we'll talk about some, we'll bring back the, I think we've only done it once, but we'll bring back the segment of personal points where me and Mike talk about something that we really haven't shared too much with each other about, but we bring it up and hope that it spurs a discussion and something that was just really interesting to us and since the time the last podcast was recorded. And maybe we'll talk a little Trump and Putin. Maybe we'll talk. They met today. So we'll see. We'll get into it. But first things first, let's talk a little NBA, Mike. The Cavs and the Warriors and the Celtics and the Thunder and the Wolves, all these teams making all these moves. It's been a pretty insane offseason already for the NBA. We've been discussing, has this really changed the landscape? And we had kind of a mini conversation about this the other day, and we thought maybe this would be good fodder for today. Has the landscape changed in your eyes? And maybe I'll answer the same question as well. Has the landscape changed in your eyes, and do you see any potential, you know, dark horses, I guess. I was searching for the word.
Right.
Dark horses that are going to be challenging those you know, the two teams that have been really dominating, the Cavs and the Warriors.
I'm going to answer pretty quickly and then throw it back to you just so that so you can see, because I could probably go off for a while.
Yeah.
I think the landscape has changed, but I think the very top echelon has not changed. What do you think?
I think that's a fair point. It's probably more nuanced than what I was going to say, believe it or not. I was probably just going to say no, because to me, if the top echelon hasn't changed, then what really has changed? And I know that we've had a discussion about, well, now the playoffs might be more interesting. Maybe those earlier rounds will get people watching more because, you know, you have Jimmy Butler playing with Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe you'll have some new teams in the playoffs.
Right. I think that's where – I think the regular season does become a little bit more interesting because out west, especially, those teams play three or four times. And tiebreaker may be towards the end of the season something to look at when it comes to the playoff race, especially out west.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that for the east, but I do think – with all the new moves that Boston has put together, I think that, you know, puts them closer to the Cavaliers. But I still think it's Warriors, Cavs for this next year, too. And that's what I mean by top echelon, you know, coming out of the East, coming out of the West.
Yeah.
But I do think it has changed. Like, you asked about a dark horse. I think it could be the Timberwolves with the moves that they made. I don't know if I'd consider the Celtics a dark horse, but I don't think anybody would be surprised if they, you know, got to the Eastern Conference Finals again. But I think people would be surprised if they ended up getting to the NBA Finals. So I might consider them a dark horse out East.
Can I ask you a quick question, maybe off a little bit of the beaten path? Mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward, he got a massive deal, or at least bigger than I was thinking
right.
he would get. What do you think of that deal? What do you think of him leaving the Jazz and going to the Celtics and the reaction from that, from Jazz fans? And was that a bigger piece of news than you anticipated, or was that pretty par for the course for him? Is he worth all that?
Well, I mean, I think the NBA, there's levels of players, and I think a player of that caliber, someone's gonna, you know, I think we had this talk in the first or second podcast about teams paying players, and I think it was revolving around quarterbacks in the NFL, that someone out there is going to pay a quarterback a lot of money, right? We had talked about David Carr, I think, getting his big deal. And I kind of think the same way with Gordon Hayward. Is he the best small forward in the game? No. But is someone going to pay him max money? Yeah, someone is. So why not be the Celtics? I think, you know, the Jazz fans are, I think, a little hurt. And I think it's smart by him not only to go out East, but also, you know, it's a max contract. But it immediately puts him into, if the Celtics duplicate what they do last year, they're in the Eastern Conference Final. He's got a much shorter road to the NBA Finals than he does out West. He's got to outlast Golden State in their prime, Houston, who's made a couple moves, OKC. The Spurs kind of, you know, are in a transition but still legitimate. So trying to get through five or six teams out West versus only trying to get through one team out East.
Yeah.
Like Toronto's out there. I'm trying to think. Maybe the Hornets have a better year. I mean, I just don't see any of the Bucks maybe get a little bit better. But he's got an easier, I wouldn't say easier road, but he's got a shorter road.
Easily, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was kind of your, I know you'd mentioned you didn't think it was possibly worth that money, but what was kind of your perception from kind of all the things that went on here in the last couple of days?
I mean, I think Hayward, I don't know if Hayward wasn't worth it. I was just kind of posing the question because I wasn't quite expecting the response he got from, you know, Twitter and from the Jazz fans and from all the articles that were written and all that stuff. And I guess it was a bigger deal than just I realized he was going to be. I mean, I knew he was going to pull some money. I've seen him play and all that kind of stuff, so I'm not downplaying him.
Right.
But I'm just saying that, I don't know, I underestimated it, I guess.
He's not LeBron by any stretch, so I think it's weird that
no.
I think you had mentioned he saw some Jazz fans
burning his jerseys and stuff. Like, I wouldn't have thought that. Like, right. if you know what's not going to happen if Andre Drummond leaves the Pistons, I don't think anybody's going to be burning his jersey. Like, I just don't.
I will, just to prove you wrong.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You'll be a random guy. Thanks for betraying us.
Put it on Twitter.
Yeah. So I'll be like, holy, I never thought that would happen. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think you mentioned that the Wolves might be your dark horse, and I completely agree with that. I feel like Karl Anthony Towns coming up and Wiggins and bringing in Jimmy Butler and all that, I just feel like that team is young, ready to jump. If they can put it together, and by jump I mean ready to make that jump to the next level, if they have the right coaching, if they have the right people to put them in the right positions, I think that team has at least the most potential to do it.
Yeah, I think they're hungry. I think Jimmy Butler leaving the way he did with Chicago, I think he wants to prove something too.
Right. And it's interesting to see him go there and not go to a Cavaliers or...
Well, I think even this time last year, they were talking about what Gordon Hayward's doing. I think there was a possible trade for Jimmy Butler, even mid-season. I think the Celtics were talking about trying to get Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah. So, the Celtics had a lot of names that people were kind of expecting them to be the home for. Like Blake Griffin, I think, was mentioned as that. Jimmy Butler, of course. There may have been one other.
Danny Ainge has really impressed me the last two or three years with Boston, probably ever since that the Garnett, Paul Pierce, and kind of that trio trade that he made with the Nets. because they just made that – they didn't have enough cap room when they offered the contract to Gordon Hayward because the cap fell. So the cap was $101 million, which they thought it was going to be. Then the cap fell $2 million, which actually – is the reason they really actually need to do a sign and trade with Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
So they traded Avery Bradley in a 2019 second round pick to the Pistons, your Pistons, for Marcus Morris. Not just they got Marcus Morris back, and I think he's a good player. I like him. He's got a twin brother, Markeith, I think, in the NBA as well. And I like that trade. They get back someone who's 6'8", athletic, young. You know, some hunger, has some skill, he can defend, rebound. And they have a lot of those, you know, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, you know, throw them up in the air. Which one, you know, you can take either one.
Yeah,
the same size, skill sets. I think Avery Bradley is probably a little bit better offensively. But Danny Ainge just pulled off, another crazy trade. They're getting Hayward in free agency as well. So you know they're trying to do. I mean, they didn't put a very good effort into the finals this past year in the Eastern Conference. But going forward, that's why I said I don't really know a dark horse out east other than maybe the Celtics, just because the Cavs blew them out in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason for all the moves is the Celtics see where they're at. They see that they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They obviously didn't feel that they were ready to overcome LeBron at this point.
They didn't look ready.
They definitely didn't look ready. And I think going into it, they didn't feel it. Like, they just didn't believe.
You had mentioned that even before, like halfway through game one, you had mentioned that to me outside of the podcast. You had mentioned that you didn't think they looked ready.
It didn't look like they believed. They're like, we already got past the Wizards. We're good. This is about as far as we thought we'd get. We are who we thought we were, essentially, you know.
Playoff.
Yeah. So, but I think now they can say, all right, well, this is what we need to do to beat LeBron. So they bring in, a couple of guys that they think might help out in that effort. Maybe next year they don't go into that game or that series feeling that way, or at least.
And look at who they have to defend LeBron now. Jay Crowder, who kind of guarded him most of the time this past season. Now they bring in Hayward, 6'8", you know, can guard a little bit. But then they bring this other guy, Marcus Morrison, who's 6'8". I mean, you got three of these guys, and I'm sure there's a couple other guys on that squad that they're going to throw out LeBron now to try to defend him.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting, the way that, you know, the process and what's going through Danny Ainge's mind as far as how he's putting that team together.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I like this way of building a team better than what he did with the Garnett, Ray Allen team.
Right.
Where it was just, let's just buy out the biggest free agents and do it that way. I mean, they paid Hayward a lot of money.
Right.
But he wasn't like the top free agent. He didn't go out there and grab, you know, the Paul George or the whoever, like, you know, whoever's been out there. He didn't go out, and Hayward, I would say, was maybe in the top 10 of the free agents, something like that. He definitely was paid that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, there was probably, you know, obviously there's a few max deal players. I don't know, again, I don't think that Gordon Hayward is a, like we were talking earlier, landscape-changing type of player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very good. He'll be an all-star in the East, partly by default, because there's kind of a lack of superstars out there. But I think he definitely improves that team. And they didn't. The nice thing about, if you are a Celtics fan, which I'm not, but if you are a Celtics fan, they didn't give up a whole lot to get him. And they didn't give up a lot of their assets to get him. Same thing, the thing they would have. And that's kind of leads me into another thing, is the Pacers. If they had waited just a week to get rid of Paul George, because of the salary cap falling, they could have gotten just a truckload from the Celtics, and the Celtics probably would have paid it.
You tell me if I'm wrong. This is totally just a gut feeling, and from what I read, the Pacers panicked because of what Paul George was saying in the media or whatever got leaked, when he was saying that, yep, this year is it's going to be my last year. When he went into their office and told them that, they were like, shit. Like, what are we going to do? That's at least how it felt to me. And so you tell me what you think about that.
I agree. I mean, I don't think there's much more to say. I mean, I think they pulled the trigger way too quick. You know, we had this discussion before. I felt like Paul George took the rug and took any amount of power or leverage from the front office out of them by announcing it that this was going to be his last year in Indiana. So, but I think if they would have waited, because that, and I read something earlier today that because of that salary cap just dropping $2 million, what it was a huge deal. And so, in the essence of trying to trade Paul George, other than having to see him and play against him, which, again, I don't know if that was the right decision to send him out west, but you get back a couple guys. Yeah, they just waited, and the Celtics would have paid a lot for him, and you could have at least had some semblance of a rebuild.
What was the need to do it so quickly? Like, why is it that it feels like that news came out not even a few weeks ago or less, and he's already gone? He's already out of town.
I don't know. One thing I can think of is sometimes in sports, the longer kind of something goes on like that, the less value that player demands, maybe.
Do you think it's because we live in a time where everything is immediate now? Everything's quick, 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 do it now, where you live in the Twitter, the Twitterverse, like the news is just constant. Do you think it's like that?
Or? Let's say they hold him on to the seat. Let's say they keep George and they're playing, they start the season with him and he gets hurt or he just doesn't have the fire. And so his numbers aren't great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much of a trade value is he offer at that point come mid-season or the first part of the season if he's averaging 19-5-4, or he sprains an ankle, or, he's just doesn't want to play all that hard because he doesn't want to get hurt for whatever reason. So I think you kind of have to pull the trigger sooner than later, but I think to your point, I agree. Like, I think they panicked. And I just think for whatever reason, it was more emotional decision than business decision, because even draft night, there was rumors that the Celtics were giving up a starter or two and three draft picks for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you don't pull that trigger. But obviously they have the reason, something beyond you and I know.
Yeah, I'll let me throw this out there, because we've been kind of talking on this for a little while now. Maybe in the next show, and I'll just tease this, we look at the moves and rank who we think got the best or got better. What's the proper word for this?
Kind of best deals going in, like from the
off-season. Who improved their situation the most? I don't know why that was so difficult to get out, but
it's Friday. That's why.
It's Friday, and I'm two beers deep at this point, right? So let's do that. Maybe let's write that idea down. Next show, we'll look at these teams who have been real heavy in the free agency and the trading and all that, and we'll see who improved their situation the most. Each of us will give maybe our top three or four or something like that. Let's move on to the NFL.
Let's do
QB rankings. So Mike and I wanted to start this whole thing. Every week, what we're going to do is present one position and who each of us feel are the top five, I guess, in the league. Maybe we'll change up that number because some positions there's more of them. Like if we go as far as doing like safeties, there's a lot of those. So,
right.
or cornerbacks or whatever. But every week we'll do one position, rank our top five, and we'll tell you why we feel those are the correct rankings. Feel free to give us feedback. Tell us
maybe someone will post on we'll post our picks on Twitter.
Yeah.
After today, and then we'll ask, and then all the listeners, if you want to post your top five, go ahead.
Yeah, tell us if you agree, disagree, who's left out, who we snubbed, essentially. So let's start out with number five.
You go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. So I think, oddly enough, and I swear we didn't plan this.
Yes, this was not planned. Actually,
neither of us know who's on each other's list, but both of us have a tie at number five, which is...
So we cheated, essentially.
We told each other that coming into it. We're like, I put two at number five. And Mike told me that, and I was like, so did I.
By the way, I cheated. I threw in an extra one. I called it a tie at number five.
So my tie is Derek Carr and Drew Brees. And let me just give a quick 10-second reason why. So these guys, to me, are both guys that their team would not be the same without them. I think Derek Carr has proven that, and I think Drew Brees has more than proven that. Drew Brees obviously is the more tenured guy. Derek Carr is only in his third year, so obviously he has more to prove. But I think Derek Carr has proven to me that he's that good, because that offense, without him, to me, screams mediocre. You know, of course, they've had Latavius Murray back there, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, all those guys. But if you don't have a good guy behind the center, that doesn't mean anything. And so I look at Derek Carr as incredibly, you know, just important to that team. So I put them both as a tie there, mostly because I didn't want to leave Derek Carr off the list. So
right.
Give yours.
One of mine's the same. One of mine's different. So my tie for number five is one of them, Drew Brees. I agree with that. But I'm going to switch it up. I have Russell Wilson.
Okay.
As my fifth.
That's a fair one.
I'm probably not going to go into Brees too much. I think you covered most of it. A lot of those reasons as the reasons why. I think even at his age, mid-30s, I still think he's a top-flight quarterback. Is obviously why he's in the top five.
Russell Wilson's because he married Ciara, right?
Totally. That alone. Have you seen her? have you seen Ciara?
So, or is it Sierra?
Yeah,
Sierra. Did I say it wrong? Oh, sorry. No, see, this is what'd how Ciara.
Oh,
this is how tapped into the pop culture I am. But our listeners will learn that over time,
right? No, I like Russell Wilson because I think he is becoming more and more part of that offense being surrounding him. Obviously, they didn't have a great running back, but kind of by committee this year after Marshawn Lynch left. And he's kind of been doing that, you know, on his own, and he's still getting them. Their defense isn't as good as it has been the last couple of years, and so they're needing to depend on him. And the first part of the season, he didn't play that well. He hurt his ankle last year, but the last probably 8-10 games, man, that guy was – like, forget, he's athletic. Yeah. The only thing that you would lack, and I think he's proven that you don't really need this if you're Russell Wilson, maybe, is height. Yeah. I mean, he's 5'11", 6 foot. But I love the way he plays. He's a gamer. He's competitive. And he does not turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
I think his decision-making, I think there's still work to be done there. But I think he can – he's electric, man. I really, really like Russell Wilson.
I actually completely think that's a valid pick. He probably does more with less in Seattle now than he ever has. And, certainly deserves to be up there. Obviously, you have to cut places here and there. But, yeah, Russell Wilson for sure worthy of that. You want to move to number four?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got him number four, Andrew Luck.
Really?
Yeah.
That is really surprising. Yeah. Our lists are going to be quite different.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that, because it would be boring if they were the same, right? So I know his 2015 was pretty bad. That was pretty evident. We live in the indie market. We hear about it all the time. But he seemed to do a lot better last year, passer rating wise. I don't know if you follow Pro Football Focus, but they were really high on Andrew Luck, rated him really high. I think they had him in the top three last year in terms of efficiency. Really? So, he does a lot with a little, and he kind of seemed to bounce back. He also does really well with that crappy, crappy offensive line they have. And has a pretty decent passer rating. It's something like 86 or 82 or something like that whenever he's in high-pressure situations, which is something that PFF graded at Pro Football Focus. So I knew that was not a conventional pick to put in the top five. At least not a lot of people would put that in there. Yeah. But I just felt like that was somebody that was – worthy of being in there that maybe people wouldn't think of.
You just didn't want to upset any of the listeners from Indiana. It's
exactly.
Fine.
I'm a homer, man, even though I'm not from here originally. So go ahead. What's your number four?
So I don't have Andrew Luck in my top five at all.
Boo.
I'm just kidding. So get on me all you want, Indiana.
Can I blow people's minds also? I don't have Russell Wilson in my top five, so.
That's fine. Partly because I don't know. Like, he had, you know, the last couple years he's just been injured, so it's hard for me to put him in. I think when he's healthy and going right, I would say he's a top five quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. I just think he's fallen off just with injuries and, mm-hmm. and not in playing time the last couple years. So
right.
That's why. My number four is your boy, Matt Stafford.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I got Stafford at number four.
Tell me why.
I think last year he proved a ton to me.
Yeah, he did.
I thought he was kind of, no offense, I thought he was more Calvin Johnson than anything else.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Everybody going into last season, if anybody's tapped into this, I am. Everybody going into last season was talking about how Stafford was going to, he was going to suck, essentially, because Calvin Johnson was gone. Who's he going to throw to? Who's he going to throw to? I heard that a million times, so go ahead. Sorry.
Right. No, that's fine. Like, but not only did he show me the ability to spread the ball around, but he also showed me how competitive he was. I think there was a certain kind of attitude that he brought last year, and he really, to me, stepped up his game even more. Mm-hmm. And I think going into this year, I'm expecting kind of big things from Matt Stafford. But I just think he's really kind of groomed himself. He's at that point now. And, yeah, I feel like you can see your organization, I can really see the Lions really trying to make an effort to put some guys in place to get them not only to the playoffs but, you know, to a championship. Because I think they know – the organization knows, maybe like we've talked in the past, the fans are a little hesitant. But
yeah.
I think the organization knows this is the right guy. I think they think that Stafford can get him there. And mm-hmm. I think now – they're going to try to put some real pieces on both sides of the ball to really kind of make this run with him. He's still young mm-hmm. as far as quarterbacks go. He's going to play for another 8-10 years. So, but I just see him efficiency-wise, touchdowns, yards. And one of the reasons I don't have him higher, honestly, is because I kind of the same thing I said about Russell Wilson. Sometimes his decision-making needs to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the only reason I really don't. Because skill-wise, arm strength, talent, like he should be a top-flight quarterback. And he really kind of put it all together last year.
Yeah, ever since they got rid of Joe Lombardi, who was their offensive coordinator for, I don't know, something like a year and a half.
Offensive coordinator now is who?
Jim Bob Cooter.
I just want to hear you say
Jim Bob Cooter. So, and ever since he's been with him, though, I'll call him JBC for the family-friendly podcast that we run here. He's been stellar, and they've taken away a lot of those mistakes that you were talking about.
Right,
made him a much more safer, a much more safe quarterback, making less risky decisions and things like that. So that's really, I think, the catalyst as to why you saw so much improvement from him last year. I expect big things from Stafford this year. He's not on my list because I'll be honest, like, I want to see more from him than just one season, and also past Calvin Johnson, I mean. And also, I just I felt like that would kind of come off a little homerish if he was on the list. So he's up there for me, but he's not he's not top five at the moment anyway. Okay, so number three. Get ready for this, Lions fans that may be listening. Aaron Rodgers. Not too surprising that he's in the top five.
Right. I'm surprised. I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just think, honestly, it boils down to obvious reasons. And without him, the Packers would be nothing. Yeah, and I'm not...
Not even question.
Yeah. Like, I really feel like that team would be garbage without him. I think he's that good. And so he's got that much confidence. He brings that much momentum to the game for the Packers. And I think they better hope lightning strikes three times in Green Bay, because once Aaron Rodgers is gone, and that's not going to be for a while, but once Aaron Rodgers is gone, who are they going to replace him with? Because they've had two pretty legendary quarterbacks. They're
probably
there,
Scouting some kid in seventh grade, right?
Yeah, I know. They better be. They better be, because that fan base is used to it. And there's people there that have never... They've maybe experienced one losing season their whole life.
Right.
So they just need to, you know, I kind of sympathize with that as a Red Wings fan. I'm going to give a
shout out to Johnny Samatovich.
Yeah.
Probably him, who's a huge Packers fan. He's probably never seen the Packers be, like, bad when they had like Don Magic House gear, yeah, whatever that was, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, that's the way it is. But right now, as it stands, Aaron Rodgers is a number three, in my opinion. What's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I love Rodgers. I think skill wise, there's really not much more I can say. I think he's a little low. I'm surprised you have him at three. I'm trying to think of on my list. I'm looking at, I think, the two guys that you have above him. But he took them to the NFC Championship game last year with injury depleted team with nobody on there. Like, he just makes sometimes ridiculous throws that I'm like, oh, that's picked off, or that's not going to get there. And he made some sideline throw against the Cowboys. Maybe that was a divisional game when they beat the Cowboys in Dallas. I love Rodgers. Definitely top three.
Can I defend why I have him lower than one or two? Is because
absolutely not.
I cannot. Yeah. Partly it's because there were at least a few plays last year that I saw that were big plays that were pure and utter luck. Okay, two of them were Hail Marys, and then there was another one that was basically, I can't remember exactly what was happening, but I know that it was a defender was chasing after him, and he never saw the guy, and he just managed to like get the ball off in time and ended up being this thing. Okay,
now that's Rodgers, man.
That's Rodgers. I get it. I'm not dogging him. But what I'm saying is like, if those plays even go an inch one way or the other,
right,
you know, it doesn't turn out as well for him. Like, the Lions win the division if he doesn't nail both of those Hail Marys last year.
Right.
And you got to admit it. I know people want to play games because I'm a Lions fan, but you got to admit it. A Hail Mary is nothing but luck. It's nothing but luck. You can put the ball in the right spot, but there's a million guys fighting for it. And I don't see that as anything that the quarterback is doing outside of putting the ball not out of bounds. Right. Am I wrong on that? Or
I have a hard time agreeing with that, because I think, okay, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I think partially it is that you're a Lions fan.
Maybe.
Just messing with you.
I mean, I honestly feel like I would feel the same way about a Stafford or somebody like that. I don't know that it's – Hail Marys to me are
– No, they're luck completely plays. Luck. That's why they're called Hail Marys, yeah, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, he's got to create the time. I know a couple ones of the Hail Marys you're talking about, and – I mean, again, he does have to put the ball in a specific – was he, you know, pinpoint accuracy on those? I mean, but there is a little bit of luck involved on Hail Mary.
It's also terrible defense. You know,
but I also think that there's times like, again, in the playoffs last year, I don't believe there's any other quarterback in the league that leads that team to the NFC Championship game.
No, I will completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. That's why he's on my list. I mean, I'm right. Not dogging him. I just – I don't have him.
You're just explaining why you have him at three.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I get it.
I mean, and it's part of the reason. There's other reasons, too, and I'll get into those in a second. Who was your number three?
My number three was Matt Ryan.
Okay.
I love Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
Matty Ice.
One of the reasons I have him at three is my two top quarterbacks, I think he's just not there yet. I think he had a great year last year. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Shanahan gone, because I think Shanahan being there a couple years really helped him develop Ryan as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I couldn't – with a coordinator changing, and Matty Ice could never really – he getting into the playoffs. He had a couple kind of, in my opinion, subpar years. Just before this year, people were talking about, did he fall off? Did he peak? And so that's kind of why. Like, he had a huge showing. Obviously, took his team to the Super Bowl. But he just has to show me kind of like your explanation as to Stafford, as to why you have him. He maybe has to show you a little bit more. That's my real reason why I have him at three. I think Matty Ice, Matt Ryan needs to show me a little bit more for me to put him in the top two spots. I think he has all the talent in the world, though.
Sure. Matt Ryan is actually my number two, and it is – for a couple of reasons you mentioned. He took him to the Super Bowl. He, to me, seems like somebody who's finally hit his prime. He's been in the league for, I want to say, maybe close to 10 years, or is it less than that?
I think maybe, you might be right. I mean, 8 or 10 years, probably.
Something like that. Anyways, he's been in the league for a good while, and it felt like Matt Ryan wasn't ever meeting his potential there for a while. Like, he was really, really good. He's had some really good years. But last year he seemed to kind of get over that hump. And, yeah, the Super Bowl In the first half, man, they were playing great. Matt Ryan looked really good. Obviously, Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and he brought them back. But I don't really blame that on Matt Ryan so much. I blame that on their defense more than anything else, and that's what people were worried about going into that game anyway. So I think, to me, Matt Ryan has gotten over that hump for this year. I guess I'm doing this list for as we stand now, and I see Matt Ryan as being top three echelon, and I just put him above Aaron Rodgers for this year. That could totally change if he kind of has a slump year after a Super Bowl, which has been seen before.
Right.
But from the losing team. But that's how I see it at the moment. He also leads the league in passer ratings on deep targets, which is partly...
Is that him or Julio Jones?
I was about to say that. It's partly Julio Jones. But he has to... I mean, that goes to the same thing with the Hail Marys. I mean, you got to create the...
Right.
Pass, so...
Right, because he's thrown a couple balls, I thought. I could have swore he was trying to throw him out of bounds, and Julio Jones went right up and got him.
Possible, like, right, I don't know.
This guy.
Julio Jones is so ridiculous, you can mess up or dude, try to mess up.
And Julio Jones is a freak, man. He is, man. A beast. So, but yeah, he's been in the league 10 years. And yeah.
I just think he's really underrated. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he's consistent for the most part. And just, you know... That's how I feel about him right now.
yeah, and I like Matt Ryan, like I said. That's why I have him at three. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit in the Super Bowl. I feel like if he had taken maybe a little bit more control of that team, maybe audible to a couple different plays, just knowing the time situation, the score of the game, I feel like some of that loss was on him, especially what was it, the strip sack in the third quarter.
Sure.
When Devontae Freeman, it's more on him because he missed – the blitz are coming in. However, if they audible out of that play from a passing play to a running play, kick the punt down or whatever, and play clock at that point, I think, you know, and to me, that's on the quarterback being able to not only read the situation, but read the defense and that type of thing. So,
sure.
Anyways, my number two, Tom Brady is my number two quarterback in the NFL. One of the reasons I love Tom, obviously. Arguably the greatest quarterback in the game. One of the reasons I have him at two is just I feel like he's slightly past his prime. I know that's probably weird to say considering what happened. Just recently we talked about the Super Bowl.
Right.
He is 40. And a lot of Tom is the New England Patriot. I think a lot of his success comes from the way that they run their offense. And that's nothing to take away from Tom because he obviously still has to play the game. And my one and two are pretty interchangeable, but I only really put Tom at two just because he's kind of on the downside of his career. I know he wants to play a few more years and this and that. But realistically, if he had a somewhat significant injury, would he come back? So it's hard for me to put him at number one just because, you know, again, partly because of age, and I hope that's not age bias or anything.
It's called ageism, actually.
It is ageism, sorry. but yeah, I just, you know, that, I mean, he's still got a live arm. Obviously, he knows the game in and out, knows their offense, and can still win a game. I just feel like, for me right now, as we stand here, he's number two in the NFL for me.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough point about his career, you know, kind of being towards the end of it and that kind of thing. I actually have Tom Brady at number one. I think people probably knew that already by now, but because of he might be towards the end of his career, but he's playing lights out. His passer ratings are still ridiculous. He and I hate to keep going back to PFF, but they are a pretty well renowned like rating system, like the way they go about their algorithms and all that kind of stuff, the way they grade all the different positions is pretty well respected across the NFL. And, you know, they rate him number one in almost every aspect. I mean, for me, he's not, it's not really arguable. Like, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's the best, but definitely up there. And maybe I would say he's the best. I don't know. I'd have to go think about that for a little bit, but he just won the Super Bowl. For me, it's not real close, but that's just an opinion. So, which I assume I know you're number one too.
Aaron Rodgers.
Ugh, yeah. I want to throw up right now.
I know, I'm sorry.
I just think if we're talking about career wise, obviously Tom Brady is the number one quarterback, head and the shoulders above you know, our list here. But I'm looking at these guys going into the season, and Aaron Rodgers, for me, being like, he just showed me a lot last year. Every time I feel like the Packers are on a downside, or, you know, the Rodgers is gonna slip, like, he just plays, and with, like, he just so competitive. So is Tom, and that's why I said my two are kind of interchangeable. And one of the reasons, again, I just kind of go back to it, he's just slightly younger. He's got a few more years to play. He's more athletic than Tom is. I would even say that he's probably got the better arm. He's maybe not as accurate as Tom is, but he makes throws off his back foot. He's not as maybe polished as Tom in terms of in the pocket, being able to footwork. But I just, you know, if I have to win a game, toss a coin for me between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and I'll take either one. So it's kind of weird for me to put Tom at two, and because they are interchangeable for me. But if I'm looking through this season and next, or then even the one after, I have to say, like, I won't take anybody but Aaron Rodgers for me.
So you said if you were to pick two quarterbacks, out of two quarterbacks to win a game, you would pick Aaron Rodgers every time?
No, if they flip a coin, but I mean, I would probably pick him 6 times out of 10, like between him and Tom. Like, I just, I like the way, I mean, Aaron Rodgers plays. Again, I know I'm probably going against popular opinion considering what Tom did in the Super Bowl this year. But again, I don't give, sorry for all the Boston fans out there, but I don't give the Super Bowl entirely to Tom. Yeah, he had to make the throws. He had to bring them back. But I think some of that loss is on the Falcons. I actually think, in my opinion, the Falcons had it lost the game rather than the Patriots losing it, or losing the Patriots winning it. That's just kind of from my recollection of remembering the Super Bowl. But again, going into this season, I'm going to take Rodgers, man. That's just, I think he's a great quarterback, competitive. Like I said, like, he's gonna, he, everything was on his shoulders last year, and he didn't have anywhere close to the team that Tom did, and he still took his team to the NFC Championship game. You know.
Yeah, they got on a heck of a run there at the end of the year, and that was almost all him. And I mentioned that, you know, he's just an insane quarterback. I mean, I don't know how to put it otherwise. My team is in his division, and, you know, it's very reminiscent to me of, you know, I wouldn't put him on Michael Jordan's level, but I remember whenever I was in, you know, elementary school watching the Pistons battle Jordan, as Jordan was getting into his prime and getting into the years where they won those 6 championships, and I just think, like, how much I hated Jordan back then. And that's how I feel about Rodgers. And that's respect. I mean, let's just face it. That's respect to hate somebody like that in sports. It's like, there's a reason why they get your attention.
Of course.
So let's call a spade a spade. So, hey, we've been going on a little while. Let's take a quick break here. And we'll be right back. I think we'll come back and do personal points. A little bit shorter segment. And, we'll finish out the podcast from there. So hang tight with us. We'll be back in just a short little bit. Thanks, guys.
Michael, I'm trying to get updates on the company.
Who's Michael? I'm Caleb Crawdad, I do declare.
You don't have to keep saying I do declare. Anytime you say something, it means you're declaring.
That is the way Southern people talk.
And what designing woman are you basing that on?
Delta Burke, I do declare.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for coming back. hanging with us through the break. We are Dudes With Views. Follow us on Twitter at Dudes With Views and Facebook and iTunes and SoundCloud. Thank you very much. Subscribe and follow and like and all those good things.
iTunes, man. That's so awesome.
I know. We are on the iTunes, as the kids say. The iTunes.
The kids say that.
Yeah, the kids.
Okay.
All the cool kids, actually. Not just the kids.
All the cool kids.
Yeah, so I'm in that clan. I know, you know, I get the newsletter and all that. So
nice.
Yeah,
get the updates daily.
I chose to get them weekly. Actually, yeah. I asked them, like, you know, don't hit me with the daily. I'm like Trump getting his briefings in the morning. You know,
I just want them 3 times a week.
Too much info. So too much cool. So we're gonna do our personal points segment here. We ran a little long in the first segment, so. We want to go straight to that. Mike, I'm going to let you start it out this time. I started it out last time. So hit us with your personal point.
Well, something that came up that I thought, and I've been kind of following it the last probably 18 months, maybe 2 years, since it was kind of announced. And I'm kind of admire this guy, Elon Musk, from Tesla. SpaceX, that those companies. And so the Tesla 3, which is the really for Tesla, their first affordable, if you will, electric car, is going into mass production here pretty soon. So the starting point for the Tesla 3 is at $35,000 annually. That's just the start. But there's a couple interesting things that come standard on there. So I guess from what I understand is they're going to make 100 or so here in July and August, somewhere around that. The plan is around September to try to get to 1,000 to 10,000. And then sometime between October and November, they're going to produce like almost 100,000 of the vehicles. So really kind of late fall, we're talking mass production, which is also new for them because even their other cars and lines that they have, I don't think they produce in that big of an amount.
So that's kind of crazy because you actually see them more than you might think.
Yeah, I mean, here in Indiana, like we see them a lot, especially when we drive up on the north side. I see them, but sometimes heading down to Bloomington, sometimes I'll see one or two come up the other way.
Yeah,
but they're really neat, man.
They're super nice looking cars, and just I've been in a parking garage a couple of times where they'll drive right by and they sound super quiet and just slick. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah, if they could turn those into super affordable cars for, you know, fairly middle class people, that would be awesome. Because
my wife wants one already.
Yeah, she
wants
I'm sure my fiance does too. She's right up that same alley. So sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say a couple things I think are interesting. So it's supposed to go 0 to 60 in 6 seconds or under. Like I said, starts about $35,000. A couple interesting things, roughly 215 miles on a single charge. And so up at the West Coast, I was trying to figure out kind of what is that? How far is that?
Right.
So from Sacramento to San Francisco, round trip is roughly 172 miles. So you could do that on a single charge. From here, like in Indiana, going down to Cincinnati, you would essentially have to plug it in and charge it because I believe it's a little bit more than that. It's like high 200s, so you'd have to go down, like plug it in or stay overnight and then drive the car back because you couldn't make it all in one charge going from here to Cincinnati.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then something that comes standard on every vehicle is their autopilot self-driving feature. Huh. I thought that was interesting that they have that standard because it seems like recently there's been some issues with it, but...
That seems a little ahead of its time. I mean, it's just a standard autopilot feature, meaning it'll drive the car will drive itself.
Right, the feature that allows the car, which is in the Tesla X or whatever now, allows the feature in there now is autopilot. Since you just put on it, drives to where you go. I don't know if it must have some type of GPS, obviously, or navigation.
I don't understand.
But now it comes standard on this Tesla 3, which I think is really cool as a standard feature.
That's crazy. And the car's only going to be $35,000.
Well, that's starting, but I think to add, like, I think it's initially like seats 5, initially a rear wheel drive, but upgrades are you could get it upgraded to an all wheel drive. And then there's some, obviously, I'm sure, kind of. Little bells and whistles that you can get that
drive the price up. I think, you know, standard operating, what maybe most people would get is probably, I would assume, probably mid-40s is probably why what you're looking at with some extra bells and whistles with it. But it seems really cool, man. Even the I was expecting when this was first announced a couple of years ago that the design of the car was going to be kind of shitty because a lot of electric cars are kind of shitty design-wise.
Yeah.
And that when the Tesla, the original one, came out, I was like, man, that car's slick, like you said. And even the 3 now is slick looking. So for electric car, I in that price point range, like, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm all that's pretty crazy. I just realized how much of a an ad this is sounding like for Tesla, because we're both right? So they have not paid us to say all this. We are just you know, big fans of the concept and the way the car looks and the performance and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's super exciting to hear about that. They keep on seeming to develop this car further and further. And it seems to be a fairly popular model.
Your reservations on it. I think it's like $1,000 to reserve your car. And I know close to 100,000 people put their deposit of $1,000 down. I have a buddy out in Vegas, and him and his wife, like when it was first announced, I think this is either a year ago or something pretty close to that, they put, each one of them put $1,000 down. So they put $2,000 down, because when these come out, they're going to get two, one for her, one for him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. So I imagine if Holly wants one, it's in the future, huh?
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. She does. She keeps saying that she wants a Tesla. I think she may want the SUV, but she's going to have to, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be happening anytime soon.
Yeah,
no, the Tesla 3 is probably her closest chance.
yeah. Well, more power to you guys, because that would be awesome. I hope we can, you know, bring that into the family as well. So I'm kind of struggling on my personal point at the moment. I had one coming into it. I'm not sure if I want to hold off because, well, you know what? Screw it. I'll bring it up because I'm not all the way through this podcast episode that I'm going to bring up. But knowing what I know about history and having studied this time period, it's incredibly fascinating to me, at least. And I'll let the audience and you decide what you think. But
I already have an answer.
I figured. So I've been listening to this podcast called Hardcore History. It's basically, you know, I'm a history major. I have a master's degree in history. I took it all the way. So I understand that maybe I'm biased when it comes to my interest in history. But this podcast, if you're not normally interested in it, this guy, Dan Carlin, is the teacher you never had in high school. Like, he's excellent at leading you through. What he'll do is take a particular topic and lead you through like more than several decades of how that topic was affecting society, you know, in a given time. And in this particular episode, it's called The Destroyer of Worlds. It's a Blitz episode, which is sort of a oxymoron because it's 6 hours long, the episode, which is part of the reason I haven't made it through yet. And it's about the atomic bomb and J. Robert Oppenheimer, who created it, or at least is credited with creating the atomic bomb when the arms race was happening. And it's about basically what happens if human beings can't handle the power of that type of weaponry, and, you know, having that kind of just power at your hands, and you know, you always say you don't want the wrong weapons to get into the wrong hands and all that kind of stuff. We deal with that today, which is part of the reason I wanted to bring it up. We're talking about North Korea and other countries, Iran getting these nuclear weapons, and what we're worried about is that they'll be irresponsible with them. Is that correct? So, you know, his podcast is kind of examining the early years of the nuclear age and on into today. And I've basically at this point gotten to like the Korean War.
Right.
And how, you know, different powers within the government were wanting to use the weapon and weren't wanting to use the weapon, and who was winning those battles. Obviously, Truman dropped the two atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan to try to end World War II, and that's obviously an extremely controversial decision, but one that people, I think, have argued successfully on both sides, whether you agree or disagree with it. I think I've heard really good arguments for both, as ugly as that turned out to be. So it really has me thinking, because I think we all kind of have in the back of our head this assumption that we're going to someday be our own demise as a society, as a civilization. I think with the nuclear weapons or whatever the case may be, maybe there will be another plague.
Well, you see kind of, not to bring Hollywood into this, but you see Hollywood, a lot of their, you know, end of world movies or aftermath was done by us.
Sure, yeah.
You know, with some type of, again, atomic bomb or nuclear explosion, something.
And I think that the reason why they make those movies is because they know what's in our heads with that. It's not that an asteroid is going to hit. Yeah, we've had those movies too, but not as many. It's always Terminator.
Plus, at that point, you have Bruce Willis and, you know, to go up onto the asteroid.
Exactly. And, I mean, we had a plan.
Blow it up like a, you know, drill down. And
we had a plan. I mean,
yeah. Just
drill, baby, easy. Drill.
So Ben Affleck, I mean, everybody was there. It's a party.
I mean, what was Ben Affleck going to do? Die?
I know, right? I mean, come on. He's a superstar.
Bruce Willis took a bullet for the team. It's all good. So,
no, but I think you're right. Like, I think there is, whether it's in people's minds or back of their minds or in the forefront, I agree that there is a certain sense of that people or society, not necessarily, you know, specific to the U.S., but just generally speaking worldwide, that there is that air of we are going to be our own demise by the power at our hands.
And why is that? I mean, is it's because we know the shortcomings of humanity. We know that, you know, for every good person, it seems like there's, you know, a bad one, a person that...
Or two or three.
Or, yeah, that you don't want to have that kind of power, and you don't know what... They're not predictable, right? There are people who don't seem to have the same type of empathy and that kind of thing, and so...
Well, things corrupt. I think us as humans, we're very easily corruptible by power, money...
Fear.
Fear
is a big thing in this podcast. He talks about how Douglas MacArthur wanted to use that, wanted Eisenhower to use the nuclear weaponry that we had because of basically fear. They were fearing that, I don't know if you, is it the prisoner's dilemma? Or I think they kind of exhibit this in one of the Spider-Man movies where they had the boats and it was perfectly nice people in one boat and prisoners on the other.
Oh, that was Batman, The Dark Knight.
Are you sure it was that? Yeah. Okay. I can't remember. Yeah, maybe it was. Right. See, I can't keep all the...
And they were going to, at midnight, he gave each ferry a detonator, right?
Right?
And said, at midnight, if neither one pulls the trigger, I'm going to blow you both up.
Right. So right. It's like, it's a prisoner's dilemma, I think is what they call that.
One of the reasons I kind of know that recently is because I just watched the movie.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Okay. So it's been years and years since right. I've seen it. It's just in the very back of my head. But I just remember how... you know, that's the case. And so MacArthur was sort of dealing with that in his own head. I mean, everybody right. has their opinions of MacArthur, but he wanted us to be the first to pull the trigger because he felt like if we didn't, they would. And so it's that exact same scenario. And luckily we didn't pull the trigger on that because, I mean, look, listen, to, all I'm going to say is so we don't drag this out and out. Listen to the podcast episode at the very least. Give it a shot. Destroyer of Worlds it's a blitz. They call it a blitz podcast. It's 6 hours long. I don't expect you to listen to the whole thing. Just give it a shot for the first couple of hours or so and just learn a little history. Go and learn about the atomic bomb, its creation, and how it's kind of a nice little, I wouldn't call it a layman's history, but it's just he just lays it out for you real simple about how the decisions have been made to use it or not use it over the course of time. It's fascinating, if you ask me, because there's literally way more times in our history that we could have had a totally different outcome,
right?
And it was because of a few people's decision,
right?
And that's scary to me, because who knows who's making those decisions now, with what we're dealing with you know, increased tensions between us and North Korea and whoever else. So I'm off my soapbox.
No way of to advertise. I felt like the personal boys were more kind of an advertisement for both things that we thought were interesting, but no, I'm definitely going to take a listen to that. I think all that past history and, like you said, some of the decisions that are made or not made even were almost as crucial as the ones that were made. So I'm definitely going to give it a listen as well.
For sure. And if you like it, check out the rest of the podcast, because that's one of my favorite podcasts that are out there. It's just always grabbed me. And I realize history major, you know, I'm into that stuff, and maybe other people aren't into it.
Nerd alert. No.
Yeah, but just give it a shot. I'm telling you, you might surprise yourself and like it more than you think. So, Mike, do you have anything else that you wanted to go over, or you want to save it for the next podcast, or what do you think?
I don't have anything specific. We can cover it on the next podcast. If you want, because I think we'll probably be next Monday.
Yeah, I think Monday we'll come back again. Yeah, it won't be quite as long this time. It was about a week in between podcasts this time because of the holidays. So,
and I think this stuff I have cover, we can talk about it off air, and then probably talk about it on air on Monday.
Perfect. So we will see you guys on Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Please, if you can, tell your friends about us, retweet us on Twitter, Facebook, just however you can spread the word. If you like what you hear, if you like kind of sitting back and just having a couple of guys talk in the background while you're doing things or whatever the case may be, we'd really appreciate it, because we like doing this.
We love it. We've also had just recently an uptick or a little bit of spike in some of the followers on Twitter, so we appreciate that.
Yep.
Please, hopefully that's from people sharing, liking the podcast. Like Andy said, we both love doing this. Mm-hmm. We love bouncing things off each other. This is not too much different from when Andy and I have a couple drinks or just sitting around having lunch during the work week or what have you. So, but we do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll see you guys Monday. We will be posting a new one. And keep a lookout on Twitter and iTunes for when we post that. It'll probably be Monday night. So we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys. And we'll talk to you real soon.